Well, the act of remembering the past is important for us to do, but it's also very powerful for us as well. Parents do this as they talk with their kids, remembering what they were like when they were younger, thinking about the things that they said, writing those things down and reading through them. I know Christy and I do this right now. Kids also ask their parents to tell them stories of when their parents were kids. And this helps them to remember where they have come from and who they were growing up. Organizations, they do this remembering as well. We just celebrated our 75th anniversary as a church, and much of what we did over the course of that entire weekend was remembering the past and the way that God has been faithful to us. We remembered and we honored those who have served in the past in different ministry roles here at the church. Families also remember their loved ones when they've died. I've sat with many different families as they plan out funeral services. They are sad and they are grieving, but there's also a sense of just help and care for people as they are doing that. They're remembering how their loved ones acted. They're remembering who they were and what the person meant to them and how they were impacted by them. Many families also remember the hope that they have in the future because the person's continued belief in the gospel. So it's important and powerful for us to remember, and our passage this morning is focused around remembering an event of the past and in turn being reminded of an event surely to come in the future. And so my sermon in a sentence this morning is, we must remember salvation comes through the prepared new covenant plan. We must remember salvation comes through the prepared new covenant plan. Our text can be divided into two parts, and with the beginning and the end being the first part, and then the middle section being the second. We're going to start by looking at the beginning and the end of our passage, and the main point that we see in verses 7 to 13, and then also in verses 21 to 23, is that Jesus is in control of the salvation plan. The setting for our passage, it's clearly stated in verse 1. It is the day the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, and therefore Jesus and the disciples, they needed a place to eat that Passover meal. So Jesus sends Peter and John out to find a place to prepare the meal, kind of like on a little covert mission, if you will. No one else knows where they're going, but Peter and John, they are sent. But he gives them specific instructions. Go prepare the Passover meal. They ask, where are we supposed to prepare it at? And he follows with some almost oddly specific instructions. They're going to go into the city. And when they get into the city, they're going to meet a man who's carrying a water jar. But they're not really going to like talk to him, but they're going to kind of like bump into him. And then they're going to follow him into a house. And as they get into that house, they're going to go and they're going to talk to the master of the house. And they're going to tell him, the teacher says to you, where will he and his disciples eat this Passover meal? And the master of the house will take them upstairs into a room, and they will find a room that is prepared and ready to go, and that is where they will prepare the meal. Peter and John, they went, and they found it just as Jesus said that it would be. Jesus knew the details and was in control of how it would all go as they prepared the Passover meal. If we then jump to verses 21 to 23, we see Jesus in control of the plan, but he's in control in a different way. It isn't about the logistical details, but instead about the foreknowledge of what will come to pass. He knows of Judas's plan from earlier in the chapter to betray him to the chief priests. And Jesus also knew that he was the Son of Man, and that is how it had been determined that he would go. He knew that Psalm 41:9 speaks of this. It says that even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Jesus knew the plan, and he was in control of the plan as he ate this Passover meal with the disciples. The salvation plan, it was prepared long before the week that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. It was prepared before he was born as a baby, This plan is first spoken of in Genesis 3:15 after sin entered the world, but it existed even before this. The offspring of the woman Eve would one day crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent would bruise his heel. Jesus is the offspring who is bringing forth this prepared salvation plan, and he is the one that we can trust who is in control of it. There are many situations in our lives when we want to be the ones who are in control. This isn't always a bad thing, but we need to know that God is the one who is in control. We need to remember this specifically when it comes to the salvation of people. We could be tempted to think if we had just shared the gospel perfectly with that person or prayed correctly that maybe they would have believed. Or vice versa, we might think that if only I would have started to do this a little bit sooner, if only I would have talked to them a little bit earlier or said it in this way instead of that way, that they might have been saved. The salvation of people is not our plan. It is God's plan, and we must rest in the assurance that he is in control of it, even when difficult and unforeseen things happen. We need to remember that Jesus is in control of the salvation plan and that it is a good plan. So what is the plan that we need to remember? This comes from the middle of our passage in verses 14 to 20. And these verses, they highlight the new covenant of salvation in Jesus. Our second point is we must remember Jesus' new covenant sacrifice. The disciples and Jesus, they've gathered together in this room to eat the prepared Passover meal, and they were gathering together to remember God's work of salvation in the Exodus that we just read in Exodus chapter 12. The Israelites, they would take a lamb according to the number of people in their household. They would all at once, they would kill those lambs at twilight, and they would place the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel of their house. And when the Lord came in the night to execute judgment on the land of Egypt, he would see the blood on their houses and he would pass over them. The lamb died in the place of the firstborn son of the family. It was the substitute sacrifice. And so Israel was not just told to do this one time and then they would be done as they went out of the land of Egypt, but they were told to do this over and over and over for the years to come on this specific day to remember the way that the Lord had worked salvation to bring them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So Jesus, he earnestly desired to eat this Passover meal, remembering this event with his disciples, because he knew that it would be the last one that he would eat. In this last Passover, he wanted to set up something new to replace the old. So the lambs died each year on the Passover, and the people remembered the old covenant that God had made with Israel and ratified with blood in Exodus 24. Jesus, however, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is bringing something new that will replace the old. His blood will soon be shed. And he will die for the sins of the people. This is the event that is coming, and Jesus is making a new covenant with his people that would be ratified and sealed with his own blood on the cross. He wanted them to remember this event so that he set up a new meal by which his followers would then take to look forward to and remember how they had been saved and the new covenant they are in. And he did this by taking the bread, giving thanks, breaking it, and giving it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you," and they are to eat it in remembrance of what Jesus will do on the cross. He then took the cup, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The disciples and the church today are called to look back and remember this event. Remembering Jesus' death for their sins and that brings salvation for all people. Remembering God's new covenant plan. The church today, we today are also called to look forward to the day when Jesus will return. In verses 16 and 18, Jesus says that he will not eat the Passover meal or drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God fully comes. The kingdom of God is here now, but it isn't fully here. And so as we take communion each time, in the months to come and tomorrow evening, we remember his sacrifice for our sins and his shed blood that ratifies the new covenant. And we remember the day when he will return to have perfect communion and oneness with his people for eternity. Will you please pray with me? Father, we come to you remembering the new covenant and salvation through our faith in Jesus' shed blood on the cross for our sins. Father, he was our substitute and he made complete atonement for our sins in his death, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this wonderful plan of salvation. And so help us to remember it and to remember the hope that we have in Jesus returning to bring the kingdom of God fully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.